So as more details emerge about that bloody suicide bomber who killed 7 CIA employees and 1 Jordanian intelligence official in Afghanistan last week, perhaps it more than anything highlights the challenges now facing the CIA and the U.S. attempting to cultivate covert sources in Afghanistan to assist in counterterrorism there. The bomber was a double agent, someone the CIA had recruited to spy on senior al-Qaeda leaders. He was also a Jordanian doctor, this was mentioned already by one of our BBC colleagues, who had been imprisoned and presumably turned away from al-Qaeda while in the custody of Jordanian security officials. Joining us now is Anand Gopal, reporter for the Wall Street Journal in Kabul. And there's a significant delay on your line, Anand. Let me just say hello and go right into a question. Is there any sense that al-Qaeda has found a way to tap into the stream of people that the CIA might actually cultivate as sources to turn them into suicide bombers, or is this a bit of an accident here?
Well, that's certainly the concern, and there's some history here that this has happened before. In the 90s, there was a double agent that had worked both with the CIA and al-Qaeda, but of course, this is the first time such an agent has been used to such deadly effect.
And, you know, NATO has issued a report today saying that the CIA has all kinds of problems in Afghanistan. Is this an additional one, or is this always a problem that they've had, that people who they're likely to trust as sources, people who they think they can turn, may actually be likely to put on a suicide vest?
Well, I think this has always been a potential problem, but we've never got where actually somebody has been able to penetrate the extent of going and killing 7 or 8 CIA employees. But I think it's really going to cast a shadow now on all future intelligence work that happens in the country.
I guess what's really frustrating about this as an observer of what's going on, and most Americans, of course, are aware of the troop surge that's taken place in Afghanistan. In many ways, the tip of the spear here is not the soldiers that have gone over to stabilize the country. It's going to be this counterterrorism effort. I mean, if the CIA can't cultivate sources and produce covert operations in Afghanistan to deal with counterterrorism, the number of troops in the surge isn't going to matter. Am I wrong about that?
Well, definitely, and especially against the fight with al-Qaeda. Remember, al-Qaeda is mostly across the border in Pakistan, so U.S. troops can't actually go on the ground and try to find them. So to find the senior leaders like bin Laden and Zawahiri, it's almost completely reliant upon intelligence, which they can then use for drone strikes. But if the intelligence becomes a problem, then it becomes very difficult to get these leaders.
Now, I don't know, Anand Gopal, reporter for the Wall Street Journal, if your reporting has gone into this at all, but has Pakistan had similar problems where they've cultivated individuals who turn out to be double agents and have resulted in bloody bombings, suicide bombings, or other terrorist attacks against the very people who they were trying to trust?
Well, it's even more complicated in Pakistan because you have the ISI, which is the intelligence agency there, which is, according to some, sort of trying to play all sides. The ISI has maintained some connections to insurgent groups at the same time the other sections of the ISI is actually trying to fight against those same groups. So it becomes extremely complicated. There have been a number of times where ISI headquarters have been attacked in the last 2 years, and some people have suggested, although there's no definite proof, but some people have suggested that that may be because of some intelligence failures like we saw in Afghanistan.
Let's shift gears for a moment. The other detail that really complicates matters, or you know, stands out here, is the fact that this individual is apparently a Jordanian, who the Jordanians attempted to turn while he was in custody in Jordan. Now, Jordan, of course, has a great reputation in dealing with counterterrorism within its own country, dating back to the 1970s and the whole Black September movement against, you know, the Palestinians, and the King Hussein was very, very effective in Jordan. What does this mean if a Jordanian individual is showing up in a place like Afghanistan?
Well, it means a couple of things. First, the involvement of Jordanian intelligence officials in Afghanistan is sort of in a secret, and I think it's a very sensitive issue in Jordan. So now this has kind of come out, and it probably makes it more difficult for the Jordanians to be involved over here. But secondly, I mean, there is still, even though the Jordanians have clamped down to an extent, there's still extremists who are coming from Jordan and other areas in the Levant who are ending up in places like the border areas of Afghanistan and Pakistan.
And, of course, the al-Qaeda in Afghanistan are believed to be mostly Arabs. Certainly, Osama bin Laden is an Arab from Saudi Arabia, from southern Saudi Arabia. Is that the sort of tactic here, that the CIA is trying to match the al-Qaeda Arabs in Afghanistan with Arab spies and Arab operatives of its own, and this is a pretty significant failure?
Well, I think so. I mean, the Arabs who are mostly in Afghanistan and Pakistan are very well protected, and it's very hard to get to them. And they don't trust outsiders, especially even Afghans or Pakistanis. They have a hard time trusting. So if you want to penetrate that inner circle, then the best way to do it is to actually recruit other Arabs to do it.
What is the view on the street in Afghanistan here? I mean, you know, there's a lot of cynicism about the Afghan government. There's a lot of concern about this surge. But in many ways, I would think Afghans view this as an Arab-to-Arab conflict, Al-Qaeda versus the CIA, and not something that involves their own tribal networks.
I think that's right. It's gotten the story's gotten considerably less attention here in Afghanistan than it has internationally. And part of the reason is that Al-Qaeda as an organization is very weak in Afghanistan. It has very little presence. It's not involved in the day-to-day fight. It's mostly across Pakistan. So most ordinary Afghans don't really think a lot about Al-Qaeda, or it doesn't figure into their view of things.
That's interesting. Well, of course, you know, let's remind people, 7 CIA employees and one Jordanian intelligence officer were killed in that attack in Afghanistan last week. Does the CIA need a victory now to sort of reassert its initiative here?
I think it would look very good for them if they were able to kill or capture a major Al-Qaeda leader across the border. It would certainly help them turn the momentum around.
And, of course, the question would be, did they actually get the leader, or was the leader sort of given up tactically? It's hard not to conclude that Al-Qaeda is really running the show at this point, Anand, wouldn't you say?
Well, it's a murky world out there, so it's difficult to say one way or the other.
There's a takeaway. Anand Gopal, reporter for The Wall Street Journal, in the murky world of Afghanistan. He's the Kabul, Afghanistan reporter for The Wall Street Journal.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.